Welcome to Device Casting Couch Season 1, Episode 10. 10 episodes out now. I am Ryan, of course, and joining me is John. And what's today up? Today we're going to be talking about Facebook trying to appease the masses, another tech company to add to the trash heap, and Intel with a processor vulnerability, and much more. We'll see. how you doing today, John?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out here in Reno, Nevada, you know, putting a couple G's on black.
All right, don't go broke.
But, you know, I can't be having the IRS know, so this first post, we'll talk about Facebook.
And, good segue. How it... You want to commit tax fraud? All right, stay tuned.
Anyway, everyone knows that Facebook is notorious for collecting all kinds of information. One, just, you know, for their bottom line, as they are one of the world's biggest advertising platforms, up there with Google. Mm-hmm. But two, you know, they're just creepy. Like, Facebook, they use many tools to track you across the internet with, like, different cookies and trackers like that. Mm. And they kind of aggregate all this information so they can do this hyper-targeting. And this kind of comes in the Cambridge Analytica and stuff like that. But anyway, they released a tool to help clear the data they collect against you. So last summer, they announced a privacy tool called Off Facebook Activity, which gives users more control over the data collected by Facebook. And then so starting on the Data Privacy Day of 2020, the Off Facebook Activity feature is now available to every user around the world. Originally, it was initially made only available to users in Ireland, South Korea, and Spain for testing, but now it's open to everyone. It introduced this clear history, in quotes, I'm going to say that. The tool offers users to clear a summary of what information Facebook holds on you based on other apps you use or websites you've visited, and also lets you to delete it from your account if you want to. But it is important to note this feature does not actually allow users to delete their browsing information from Facebook servers.
Yeah.
It simply disassociates the collected data from their Facebook account. So they still have it. It doesn't actually clear it. That's why I say it in quotes, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I looked into this a little bit as well, and it is not, I don't know. I kind of see it as a cop-out, but it is not deleting your data from Facebook. They are not. They don't follow CCPA, which we talked about in a previous episode. They don't give you an option to delete the data off their servers. It's simply like if you logged in with Facebook for something, like it'll disassociate that with your Facebook account. But that's it. Yeah, I actually did this on my Facebook just to see if it actually worked. Because to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if it just didn't work. and it did. It logged me out of stuff that I had logged in with Facebook. But yeah, it's not a solution, really. As the CCPA brought up, like, the internet economics runs off of selling people's data. And yeah, Facebook is not going to stop that. They make way too much money for that.
Well, they wouldn't really have a business either, you know.
Well, exactly. They either have to charge for, like, the use of, you know, freaking Facebook and Snapchat and all that stuff. Or, you know, they could just be an ethical company and find a different way. But, you know, that's not their shtick.
reading from the Hacker News blog, he was saying, the author of it said, "I tried it, and he found over 1,000 apps and websites have shared his online activity with Facebook in the past 180 days. He said many of them are news, banking, healthcare organizations, and even LinkedIn.
Wow. Mine had, I think it was 62 different apps. Yeah,
I haven't tried it yet. This is the first time I heard about it, was researching for this episode.
Yeah. I thought I'd try it just to see what it looked like and just kind of give some feedback on it. But yeah, there was stuff on there that I don't even remember, like, going to. There were some apps that I have installed that, you know, were sharing info and stuff like that. I mean, as sad as it is, that's pretty normal. Just tracking you around the internet, what you're doing. But some of the stuff, it was links to, like, ad companies and stuff like that I don't remember ever, like, giving consent to. I mean, maybe I hit terms and conditions on something, but yeah, it was kind of creepy. So I cleared it, but obviously it doesn't really do much. It just kind of disassociates. But yeah, they announced this back in 2018 after the wake of the Cambridge Analytica, like you were talking about. But yeah, they just now have made it officially part of Facebook for everyone.
Another thing, quickly how to access it, you just go to settings and privacy, and then you select off Facebook activity. And then you'll be provided with a list of all the websites and apps that have access to your shared data with Facebook.
Yeah.
And then you can choose the specific apps to see how many interactions they've had, or you can download the activity details by clicking download activity details. You can also click that clear history like we're talking about.
Yeah.
Also, they have another feature besides clearing your history. They have a manage future activity, which will manage how third parties do the data sharing in the future. Because clearing history just clears what's already been acquired.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not sure how that actually works, though. Because I don't know if it just permanently disassociates your account, or I'm not sure how that works. That they weren't really explaining a whole lot with what that actually does.
Well, seeing they have both of these features, I imagine it just disassociates what they've collected. And yeah. But because it doesn't pertain to anything in the future, I think that's why they have this manage future activity.
Gotcha.
Button. That's how I'm interpreting it. Like I said, it is kind of vague.
Yeah, I even hit like the learn more thing, and it was just kind of general info about like what it is, when they, announced it, all this stuff, and I don't know. It seems like a cop out to me, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, don't use WhatsApp.
Oh my goodness. But hey, WhatsApp came out with dark mode. So now you can rest your eyes while you get hacked.
Oh.
It's nice, yeah.
Shout out Jeff Bezos.
Oh my goodness. Freaking Saudi prince.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about that in another episode. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's freaking Alibaba is looking at your nudes.
Oh, God.
Do you want to talk about the Intel vulnerability?
Oh yeah, I can go to the Intel leak. So as we know, Intel has had multitude of different processor level like vulnerabilities. We've seen it with Spectre, we've seen it with Meltdown. What was the third one? I forget, but there's just a list of them that have been affecting them. And there's a new one. It's called Cash Out, and it's able to leak data from Intel CPUs, VMs, and they have this SGX Enclave, which is supposed to be like super secure. It's even affected. So if you're running any modern Intel CPU built before October 2018, it's more than likely vulnerable to this newly discovered hardware exploit. And this can allow attackers to leak sensitive data from your OS kernel, any virtual machines, and like I was saying, the Intel secured SGX Enclave.
Okay.
So It's dubbed cash out, but it's also called L1DES or L1 data eviction sampling, and its CVE code is 2020-0549, if you guys really want to look it up.
Okay, so is there any way, are they pushing out a patch for this?
Oh yeah, I'm getting to it,
Oh yeah, okay, you do.
Anyway, so like the attackers are allowed, they can leak data from the CPU, but unlike other attacks, where the attackers had to wait for the targeted data to become available, they can leak it without having to do that.
What do you mean by waiting for it to become available?
From my understanding, with the previous attacks, they had to kind of wait until like that process was running or something like that.
Oh, So it was just listening, but now they can actually grab it.
Yeah, and
okay.
I could be wrong, so if anyone in the comments wants to correct me, let me know.
Okay.
But so it said cash out can leak information from other processes running on the same thread or across different threads on the same CPU core. Also, it just violates the operating system's privacy by extracting information. It facilitates other attacks. It can also, like buffer overflows, it can facilitate those just because how like intrusive this.
Well, yeah, if you can control the freaking hardware of the computer.
Well, it's interesting. It affects virtual machines too. Like think about it. If if your normal computer gets affected, any virtual machine, so like servers.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's not a software thing, it's hardware, so anything that runs off of it.
It was saying that the attack enables a malicious program to force the victim's data out of the L1-D cache into leaky buffers after the operating system clears them, and subsequently leaks the contents of the buffers and obtains the victim's data. So some researchers at the universities of Al-Dilad and Michigan demonstrate They said the effectiveness of cash out in violating the process's isolation by recovering AES keys and plain text from an open SSL-based victim. They demonstrated practical exploits for completely de-randomizing Linux kernel ASLR and for recovering secret stack canaries from the Linux kernel. They demonstrated effectively how cash out violates the isolation between two virtual machines running on the same physical core. How cash out could also be used to breach the confidentiality of SGX guarantees by reading out the contents of a secured enclave. And how some of the latest meltdown-resistant Intel CPUs are still vulnerable despite all the most recent patches and mitigation.
So another reason to go with Ryzen?
Oh yeah, so they did mention, they said a cash out flaw, it can't be exploited remotely from a web browser, but it also doesn't affect AMD processors.
Yo.
So, you know, AMD's doing something pretty good with the Zen.
I mean, and not to diss Intel, they have some good hardware. I think it's a little pricey, but they have some good hardware, but yeah.
I personally think Intel's been slacking.
I mean, so I was reading about this where Ryzen kind of came, or AMD kind of came out of the blue with this whole Ryzen build and stuff like that. And Intel apparently did not really think that they were going to be this good. Because mm-hmm. They thought, oh yeah, they'll come out with it, there'll be a bunch of bugs and people will complain about it, and we'll still have the market share. But now that they've actually like succeeded in making a pretty dang good CPU, Intel's kind of fallen behind, because they've started putting they started budgeting in other areas rather than, you know, really hard hitting into like CPU development. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of, yeah, they're AMD is definitely giving Intel a run for their money now.
Well, with the FX series processors, like, they weren't that good, especially how the architecture was. Yeah. So, like, Intel, they're like, we'll just make these ever so minor improvements every year.
Yeah,
so,
like, exactly.
When they could have been making, like, bigger leaps and gains. And then, so, AMD's like, oh, we're just going to come heavy hitting. And they come with these 8-core, like, beasts for, like, half the price. Like, when it first came out, it was, like, half the price of Intel processors.
Yeah.
And it might be, like, 2% slower. I will say Intel still has like the upper hand when it comes to like instructions per clock and just the overall frequency and stuff like that. But AMD's getting really close, and especially for the money.
Yeah, and I will say, like, Intel, they have some they're a little more stable than AMD. I'll give them that. They're a little more just intuitive when it comes to like overclocking and stuff like that. But AMD is, I mean, I've even seen tests where they outperform the same level of Intel CPUs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're, you know, for half the price, even when they first came out, they were still half the price, which is insane.
Yeah, and Intel's had to drop their prices.
Exactly,
Try and stay competitive.
Yeah, and there's a lot of laptop companies and stuff like that, and Internet of Things, companies that make I don't know, like your doorbell, you know, the Bluetooth doorbell and stuff like that. They're starting to look more towards AMD to provide them with their hardware rather than Intel, because they're same par, but they're so much cheaper.
Well, and play, like I've messed a little with some of these laptops, and they're actually like really quick. They're pretty snappy. Mm-hmm. Like I was messing, I think it was a HP Envy, has like a Ryzen 5. Mm-hmm. And the thing, it's super quick. Like it's, don't have any problems with it, and it was so much cheaper than the Intel counterparts.
Yeah. I mean, I've messed around with Ryzen, maybe not as much as you have, but I built my computer with a Ryzen, and I have had zero issues with the CPU.
When they first came out, they had some issues with RAM compatibility, but most of that's been worked out now.
Yes.
Especially with BIOS updates and stuff like that.
Yeah, I lied. That was one issue, because I bought 3200 RAM, and it just could not run it. I think, like, what was it? It was like 2600, I think, was the max at the time, or something like that. If you turned on any sort of if you manually changed it at all, it would just freaking crash. But I mean, I left it on auto, and I checked it a couple weeks ago. I think it's running at 3000 now. I think it's running at 3000. Oh, okay. So they are improving it. I lied. There was that one issue, but besides that, I was very impressed with how easy it was, because I was expecting it.
The different iterations have improved it, like Ryzen 2 and 3, because I know, I think me and you both have Ryzen 1 processors.
I believe so. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I got it when it first, you know, first came out, because I was going to go with the FX series, because yeah, but I didn't have the money to spend on freaking Intel. Yeah, and then I was like, all right, I'll wait for the Ryzen. I'll see how good it is. You know, I'll take a gamble. And yeah, it was it blew me away with how easy it was. I was expecting to have to fiddle with it a lot and kind of tinker with it to get it to work. But yeah, it worked extremely well. I've had zero issues with it. But
all right, now back to cash out.
Oh yeah, yeah. Back.
I'm almost done with it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there were these researchers. They were talking about cash out, and they were saying it's unlikely for any virus to be able to detect and block cash out attacks. Unlike viruses that kind of leave a trace, they said this exploit doesn't leave any traces in the traditional log files, and it's very unlikely to be identified where someone has exploited the flaw or not. Software updates can mitigate these issues at a cost of features and or performance. Intel is like releasing microcode updates to fix it. And they said for people who are especially worried, they can disable hyper-threading in systems where security is more important. They're hoping that in the future, Intel will look at these mistakes that have happened and release in-silicon fixes for the issues. But it just looks like you'll just need to get microcode updates, and it'll probably slow your computer down just a little bit.
Okay, so they're, as of now, you have to sacrifice a little bit of performance for the update. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because... Intel released it. The article said yesterday. I don't know the exact date, but it says there's new micro updates for the affected processors, and it turns off something called transaxial memory extensions, and that it should help. And like they said, if you're super paranoid, you can disable hyper-threading as well, but that would cost some performance.
I mean, yeah, everyone makes mistakes, I guess.
Everyone has those days.
Yeah. Well, speaking of trash... so I came across this article by TechCrunch, and they're talking about Avast. So I didn't know this, but apparently Avast created a company called JumpShot, and it's a subsidiary of Avast. They're a Czech-based cybersecurity company, if you didn't know. But apparently they were using this company as... I don't know if a shell company is the right word, but they were kind of using it as to separate it from Avast, but they were using JumpShot to basically collect data on people, on their users that used Avast. So they found it in 2015. If you try to go to the website, they shut it down, and they are slowly winding down JumpShot as a whole. I don't know if that's because they were kind of called out for it or not. But Avast claims that they were well within their rights, and that JumpShot was a separate company. It wasn't connected to Avast, but it's a subsidiary of Avast. And basically, if you were using Avast ever since 2015, they've been collecting data throughout that time. And I mean, I would assume they still are. But yeah, so they had 430 million active users that they were collecting data on while JumpShot was still around. And Mozilla and Opera actually removed Avast after it was reported they were collecting users' data and browser histories. But I don't know, I just thought this was crazy. So they were collecting all this data from people who are using Avast and selling it to companies such as Microsoft, Google, Pepsi, and Home Depot are kind of the big name brands that they were selling to. But I don't know, I thought this was crazy. That because I used to use Avast. And I mean, yeah, they were like a Czech-based company and stuff like that. So I was like, I don't know if I want to go with that. But they were free and it was pretty easy to use. They weren't, you know, they weren't hogging resources like Norton does, which Norton's freaking trash too. But I don't know about their business workings, but just their software. But Avast, I was very surprised by this. I did not know that they were actually like collecting data. But yeah, so it was pretty crazy. So Avast had a key partner in JumpShot in the form of Essential. So the business media company, it took 60.8 million, 35% stake in the subsidiary last July. So they're making a lot of money off of this thing. And JumpShot is valued at 177 million currently. So I guess the current CEO, Andrzej Vlek, or Vlkek, I don't know how to pronounce his name, some Czech name. He joined the company 7 months ago, and apparently he apologized for the company collecting data, but he kind of let it go on for 7 months until it kind of became a big deal. So he noted that he identified the issues during an audit of the company when he joined, but again, he didn't really do anything about it. But it's also pointed out in this article that he maintains the legality of the situation. He quotes that Jumpshot has operated as an independent company from the very beginning, with its own management and board of directors building their products and services via the data feed coming in from Avast antivirus products. During all those years, both Avast and Jumpshot acted fully within legal bounds, and we are very much welcome the introduction of the GDPR in the European Union in May 2018. And he goes on to say that we've been compliant with the GDPR, so, you know, basically you can't say that this wasn't legal because we're well within our legal rights. I mean, I don't know about the legality of it, but this is kind of a
it's more of a moral issue, I think.
Well, yeah, it's an ethical issue. And
yeah, ethical.
I mean, you're having people download your free security software, which is great. I mean, if you want it to be free, that's the company's choice to make it free. You could charge for it if you wanted to. But Avast was made free, and basically how they were making their money back was through this kind of subsidiary company, Jumpshot, who was just collecting data on anyone who ran scans on their computer or had the browser extension. And good on Mozilla and Opera for removing this from their app store. Chrome, I guess they were looking into removing it. I don't know if they actually did. At the end of this article, it said that they had not as of yet. You know, I don't really use Google Chrome because it's trash. So if anyone wants to look into that, they can see if it's removed. But there was one guy who, I think he just commented on the article or something like that, and he said that he tried looking for it in Chrome, and he did find it. That was a while ago, so they may have removed it by now. But he said he reported it, but heard nothing back. So
it just brings up an interesting avenue. I don't know if we've ever seen that before, where antiviruses like collect information, and it kind of makes sense because of how much access they have to your mm-hmm. machine.
Yeah.
It's interesting how they're using it to make money.
I mean, it's kind of crazy because, like, you're inviting this software in that you're using to protect yourself on the internet. And then behind your back, they're just collecting all your data and then selling it to the highest bidder, to Microsoft and Google and Pepsi and Home Depot. Like, to me, that's insane. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know, it's like masking your true intentions behind just free software. And I know companies do that all the time, but I don't know. Just a company like this, the fact that it's an antivirus company just makes it 10 times worse in my eyes. If you don't mind your data being stolen, keep using Avast. I don't use them anymore.
Or use today's sponsor, Bitdefender.
I wish. We don't have
any sponsors. We are not sponsored by Bitdefender.
We're poor. We don't get sponsors.
Please, anyone, sponsor us, please. NordVPN.
Yeah, if anyone wants to, that would be... Yeah. Raid Shadow Legends. No. please don't sponsor us, Raid Shadow Legends.
Or Nord.
Yeah.
We heard about what you did.
In light of our last episode, we don't want your sponsorship. or Avast. But yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of crazy. So Avast, add that to the trash heap along with Facebook and Oracle, and Google.
What did Oracle do?
In that report that you brought up, they were in the top three of data collection and selling on the internet.
Oh yeah,
up there with Facebook, right. Google, and Oracle. Those were like the top three right now.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. I don't even know how they do that. I mean, I know they're a huge company, but like everyone knows them for Java. Like,
yeah, probably with Java.
I mean, it wouldn't be
3 billion devices.
I wouldn't be surprised. So yeah. Oh, something as a side note, something or a website that me and John reference a lot. If you want to see a good list of secure software and messaging, though, with pros and cons, you can go to we're not sponsored by them, but you can go to privacytools.io. Privacytools.io.
You read my mind.
Yeah, they have a whole list of secure operating systems, DNS providers, web browser software. And if you go in software and then real-time communication, Actually just helped a friend out with this who was looking for a secure messenger. Obviously I suggested Signal, but they have a whole list of other options as well. And they give pros and cons and like what kind of encryption they use and stuff like that. They do a really, really good job of listing all this stuff. Again, we're not sponsored by them. I like their website. I like what they do. And so far I haven't found anything wrong with what they're suggesting or explaining. So if you do want a list and you don't want to use WhatsApp, as everyone should not want to use WhatsApp, yeah, you should go there and check out their list and yeah, see what you like and try to use something a little more secure so you're not giving your data away.
I'm actually planning on going through their site mm-hmm. and doing kind of little reviews of some of the software they recommend.
Oh yeah,
and, posting it to the channel.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. So stay tuned for future stuff. Now that we're kind of back in a rhythm, we're gonna try to do a little bit more on the channel because we kind of had a little hiatus where we were all
extremely... the coronavirus was crazy.
yeah. I guess they're drinking garlic water now to beat the virus. Apparently, that's a fix. I don't know. I was listening to someone. They were saying that.
Maybe if they didn't eat bats, we wouldn't have this problem.
Is that where this stemmed from?
I think so. I think the World Health Organization said it came from some. I want to say bats or some other kind of animal meat sold in some Chinese market in Wuhan.
Oh goodness! Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Don't sue us. But yeah, stay tuned for some more stuff. We're gonna try to do some more stuff on the channel. But yeah, that's all I got. So.
Yep. Catch y'all next time.
Yep. Bye.